Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Thursday, December the 11th, to the Coach Trammer Show, and it's cold. I'd like to start out this afternoon saying hello to everybody out here in women's football land and internet radio land this afternoon, and welcome. If you hadn't tuned in to us before, we would like to just give you like a little update and everything on who we are and what we do. I'm Coach Turk Trammer, the head football coach of the new East Texas Sabercats over in East Texas. This is the Chalk Talk show with Coach Turk Trammer. We generally come on and talk about NWFA news, Sabercat news. If any kind of news you have, we'll talk about it too. We give updates on NWFA events and also give call-in guests a chance to call in to see what's going on and ask some questions. I'd like to start out with a little bit of NWFA news first. First off, talk a little bit about the scheduling conflict. I don't know, a lot of people are still having problems with trying to figure out if we're scheduling or how scheduling is going at this point in time. I've talked with the president of the NWFA, Lynn Marie, over at the Lone Star Mustangs, and we're set to release a schedule on next weekend, next Saturday, December the 20th. So the NWFA is set to get the 09 season on the way here pretty soon. So in other news around the NWFA, we got some tryouts coming up for a few teams. If you're looking for a team in your area, the best thing for you to do is, because through all these tryouts and things like that, get confused. The best thing for you to do is back in. I dropped that just for a second. Let's try it again. We were talking about a little bit about the tryouts and things that are coming up. Once again, bear with us. We have a little unusual weather here in East Texas. We're down in the 20s tonight and had a little snow and ice south of us last night over in Lufkin and Nacogdoches, Texas. Usually we get that kind of stuff up on this end first, and they usually get the backdraft of it, but unfortunately, we got the backdraft of it, and then we may be experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty. So if you can, just hang with us here for a second. Also, we want to talk a little bit about, like I said, the tryouts and everything like that. If you really would like to try out for a team, just go to womensfootballcentral.com, click on tryouts, and go to a team and select a team and find out when and where and what you need to do. Tonight we're going to have on the show the owner and the president of the Dayton Diamonds up in Dayton, Ohio. I bet you it's cold up on that end of the world. Tanya Jackson. Tanya, are you on? TJ, are you there?
I have her unmuted, Coach. I have her unmuted.
Okay. I can't hear her yet. Is she in
yet? She should be unmuted.
Okay.
Let me try her again. Hang on.
Hello?
Hey, TJ. Welcome to the Chalk Talk Show with Coach Trim. Are you there? Hello, TJ. Are you there? We're having a little bit of technical difficulties. We'll get it figured out here in just a second. Back to some of those tryouts. And BJ, if you would, as soon as you get her up and going, just shoot me over a text or something. Let me know you got her up and going. We need to talk a little bit about, more about tryouts. And, of course, a lot of people know that the 09 season is right around the corner. We actually, if you go to etsabercats.com, to our website, we actually have countdown days to the 09 season, and actually have countdown days until our training camp. Is that you, TJ? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome this afternoon. We were just trying to give some information on trials, anything. I guess we can start with that, with the Dayton Diamonds. Let's give a little bit of your background first. I know you're the president and the owner of the Dayton Diamonds. Just give us a little bit of background on who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, what I do. Well, I'm retired. I'm a retired police officer, and I'm also retired from Chrysler. And just working with the football team, basically.
Okay. We were talking about tryouts and things like that, and the 09 season coming up. The Diamonds have anything coming up here pretty soon as far as tryouts?
Well, we just had tryouts, and we're just right now getting ready for the holidays, and we're starting back up January the 6th.
Okay.
And yeah, we will be having – go ahead.
Right. We're starting training camp on the 17th of January, so we're right in there with y'all. Dayton, Ohio. Been through there years ago. Actually have some relatives up in Akron and Cleveland, Ohio. Not very far from Cleveland, I don't believe, is it?
We're about 3.5 to 4 hours from Cleveland.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, been up on that end of the world. I'm actually, my dad and my mom actually are. My dad is actually from Chicago. My mom and my brother and I, we actually lived up there for a little while as kids growing up. And I know it can get pretty cold. Has it got any snow yet this far this year?
Yes, we didn't have about an inch. It's a little nippy here. It gets cold here.
Yeah, if we get an inch down here, everybody stops driving.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, people here cannot drive up here.
Yeah. We get an inch of snow and everybody just shut down the schools and shut down every store, and you better make sure you got everything you need because it's gonna be shut down all day until the snow melts. It's just East Texas is not fond of snow, not too fast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But we want to talk a little bit about your current job on the Dayton Diamonds. We want to know. Currently, I see here head coach and coach defensive linebackers and a defensive coach. Is this your first year? This is your second year, right, in women's professional football? Or is this your first year as a coach in women's football?
It's the first year as far as with the Dayton Diamonds. I coached back in the 70s.
Right. Okay. Well, you got right into where I was back in the 70s. Where I was going to back in the 70s. We talked. I see this. BJ gave this to me today, and I didn't do my research because I didn't even know. It's just like now. I didn't even, until I got into this deal with general management and head coach, and I didn't even know women's football existed. And when you go back to the 70s, I was almost showing up about then. I'm a little youngster. I'm only about 30 years old, so I'm a 70s baby, but not as far back as I can remember things. Let's go back to the 70s and the name of your team and what position you played and everything.
Okay, it was back in 1973, and I was a defensive linebacker with the Dayton Phillies.
Uh-huh.
And we traveled. We were the first league to come out, and we did some traveling, and it was exciting, you know. Back in the day, and women's football is not as popular as it is now than it was back when I first played.
Right. It wasn't as many leagues, also, was it? What was the name of the league back then?
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was the WF. Let me see. What was the name of the league we were in? The National All Women's Professional Football League. That's what we were in.
Okay.
We were in the NWPF. That's what it was called, the NWPF.
NWPF. Yeah, because we were talking just a few minutes ago about doing a history like deal for that. Once we found out that it dated back all the way to the 70s, because like I said, just here recently last year, I was just blown away with women's football and didn't know that it dated back that far. If playing the game then and playing the game now, from a woman's point of view, how different is it from back then, you know, dating up to now, other than it's a little bit more popular now?
Well, I think back then they played a little harder than what they now, you know. It was real. I mean, it was more contact back then in the 70s.
Right.
They were really hitting back then. But
right.
They probably had teams that hit. You know, I haven't seen all the teams play. But basically,
right.
It was just as, you know, it's not the same, but I think they were more aggressive. I feel that they were more aggressive back then than they are now.
Yeah, I have to say the same. Even now, today, you know, on the men's side, the same thing. I think it was more aggressive back then. It was more, you know, seemed like it was a lot more physical game, especially when you go back to the leather helmet days, because, you know, wasn't as much padding and protection, but we were, you know, just talking on the subject of football, there's so many penalties nowadays that you can't do this and can't do that, and back in the day,
right.
it was just football. You just played football whatever way it happened, you know, just, that was the name of the game. And, yeah, I mean, it was just so interesting that we heard about that, and I told BJ today, I said, hey, I didn't even know. I mean, that I didn't do a lot of research on that to try to find out. But you coached with also another team, the Rebellion. Was that the NWFA team or another team in Dayton, or how did that come about?
Well, they had already started when I had found out about it, and I just came in and got the position to coach. But I think they were in another league also.
Right.
The WPFL.
Okay.
WPFL.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So Dayton has had a history of football teams, you know. So it's good to learn a little bit of history about, you know, about your city and what's behind it, because, you know, a lot of people, it's like over here in East Texas, when we first got this thing going, the last professional or even semi-pro team that played was like back in the early 20s or teens or something like that. I remember seeing in the newspaper once we released that we were coming out and playing in the 09 season. It was just fascinating that it had been that long before something else had came along, and the Dayton Diamonds being a 2008 expansion team in the NWFA. How do you think the Diamonds fared in the 08 season? Just, you know, starting your first season, learning new players, and, you know, getting adjusted. We know you have a history with Dayton, but some players may not have a history with football, and just I don't know stats and things like that. I was just saying today that I didn't go back and research you guys' season because I've been constantly focusing on the H-Town Cyclones and Oklahoma City Lightning. So I've been trying to take care of our division before I move even further But just a little bit about your highlights of your 08 season and some of the things you think that the Dayton Diamonds need to fix to be successful in 09.
Well, they need to – well, a lot of them didn't know, you know, watching the game and playing the game is two different things. And like I said, we had a lot of players that loved the sports but really didn't know, you know, how to play the game. But it was a little rough. It was really – I mean, we didn't have the best record, but we did well as expected. What we did have to work with, which is a lot of girls that really wants to play and want to learn, you know, learn the game.
Right, right. In the Dayton area, that's a city, probably your population being what, about 100,000,
150,000
people?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's probably something about them numbers.
Yeah. Well, we it's the same thing we're kind of experiencing down here. My team is 99.9% rookies. Never played football before. Just watched it. A few of them just watched it. A few of them don't have any idea what this game is about. How much blood and guts you gotta sacrifice to be a champion in this game. And I think that once you get players to understanding that it's a dedication process to this game. It's not like softball. It's not like volleyball. What I get all the time from some of my ladies is, oh, I played sports all the time, but, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. And like you said, this game is such a elevation from other sports that sometimes that we tend to go in and think that, okay, I'm in great enough shape to play against this team I can take hits up into eight games of the season. Just from your experience alone, from playing, what type of shape do you need to be in to play football? Is it a shape that you need to be in to play basketball, or you think that is something that you need to take extra time and work out and get yourself prepared for something like football?
Yes, I think it is. I think that you have to get yourself prepared. You have to work out. You have to work out because it is a game that you got to be prepared to run. You got to be prepared to move. You know, you just can't stand around. You got to be moving. So you have to be prepared. Any sports that you play, you have to be prepared.
Right, right. Yeah, because we tend to, well, what I tell a lot of people just from previous experience, and sometimes you get that person's like me with basketball. I thought that basketball was this and that. But that's one of the hardest sports I ever had to run in my life, is constantly running up and down the court. So I think that basketball players are phenomenal athletes and are in great shape, tip-top shape. But we're starting training camp here in the next few weeks, you know, coming up January 17th. And, you know, just closing out to give you, so I won't hold you too long. We want to get you in and get you out. If you had to tell just some ladies that was thinking about playing football or that wanted to play football or had second doubts, what would you tell them, TJ, to get them to change their mind, to come over and just give it a shot, just try it and see if you like it and see what you can make of it? What would you tell them?
I would just suggest, hey, if you like the game, it's not just a man's sport anymore. Any sport a woman can play.
Right.
If you like the game, to take the hits, hey, then come on out. You'll
right.
love it. Once you will love the game, you would love it.
Right. Well, my ladies, you know, we actually, another, you know, thing that I noticed about ladies, period, in this game, ladies have more hustle and they're not quitters. They're more competitive at this game than men are. To me, my personal opinion, just from watching different teams around the leagues, women are more competitive, and I think that this sport is exciting. And like TJ says, not just for men anymore. Women can play this game. I've seen them do it, and
and a lot of them are doing a great job. I've watched Houston, Austin, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and watched West Michigan Mayhem, and had a chance to make a Diamonds game, but we're looking forward to playing in the 09 season, and maybe we'll meet each other down the stretch in a playoff game or something, TJ.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That would sound
so,
like a winner.
If you would, give your, if you got a website or a contact number, if somebody's out there listening, want to know how to get in contact with the Dayton Diamonds of the NWFA, how can they contact you?
They can contact, they can reach me at www.daytondiamonds.com or .net.
Okay.
And all the info is on the website.
Okay. All right. Dayton, Ohio is definitely in for the 2009 season, in the NWFA. TJ, if you got anything else, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a good night.
Okay, and the same to you. Thank you so much.
All righty. Y'all be warm up there on that end. We can't have it cold everywhere.
Yeah, I know that's right. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, TJ, for your time.
Okay, no problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And once again, that was TJ, Tanya Jackson, from the Dayton Diamonds. Once again, you can reach the Dayton Diamonds at www.daytondiamonds.com, either .net. She's the president and the owner of the Dayton Diamonds. Dayton Diamonds last season was their first, 08 was their first season in the NWFA, actually playing a season. It was an expansion team. In the NWFA last season, didn't do quite well, but you know every team has a story to tell, and every team has a starting point somewhere, and it's just where you got to start and where you're going to end up is two different things. Let's shift gears a little bit more. Talk a little bit. I just slipped my mind tonight. I want to talk about. The BCS Bowl is coming up, Florida versus Oklahoma, the OU Sooners. And me personally, I'm a Texas fan, so, of course, I'm going for the Longhorns. I believe we got robbed, but I'm going to leave that up to the BCS polls and let them decide that. But I just want to bring your attention that the BCS polls are out for the national championship in the NCAA football. And it's going to be for the national championship. It's going to be Florida versus Oklahoma, the OU Sooners, and Texas is going to have to go down and play. I believe they're playing in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio. I believe they're playing against the Buckeyes. I got to take a look at it again, but I believe they're playing against the Buckeyes. I'm not real sure. I'll take a look at it again here in just a second. Talk a little bit more about some of the fundraisers that are going on and some things that you may be interested in that we found, you know, to be a success. We talked about the card deal with one of the coaches that had an idea, one of the team affiliated with the NWFA that had an idea about some fundraising ideas. And what we're doing on our end, we're doing everything from raffle tickets to even flag football games, flag football tournaments, or even it's going as far as going out to sell promotional items. What we were looking at today actually was trying to talk with some of the local McDonald's or somebody like that to get us some of those cards that you get where you get half off at McDonald's or buy one coffee, drink one coffee free. So you may want to check with your local McDonald's or a local Sonic or something like that to check and see if that would be something that they would be interested in to do. Talk a little bit more about the schedule that's coming out. Schedule's coming out for NWFA, of course, December the 20th. We still have a Northern and the Southern Conference. The NWFA still have quite a few teams. I'm not real sure. Talked to Lynn Marie last week on the show, but not real sure
if we're still looking for any kind of expansion teams or anything like that right now. But it doesn't hurt to kind of find out if your area is an area that you may want to have a team in, or you may want to pursue trying to own a team. Like, once again, it sounds like it's a lot of hard work, and sounds like it's a lot of time and dedication. But trust me, it ain't that hard. It's just it's a lot of things that you have to go through, and a lot of steps that you have to go through to get to buy a license to own a team or operate a team in your area. Also, we talked with Lynn about, I know the NWFA also had some type of deal going on about a television deal that's going to be coming up here pretty soon about recording and airing some of the NWFA's games. That'll be exciting to see. I'm just trying to see what else we got here before we get, we've got about 34 minutes here. Trying to see what we got here before I skip over something. Tryouts. I went over tryouts and everything. Oh, what we're doing down on this end, and I'm challenging each and every league or each and every division or every conference or whatever, you know, you're in, no matter what league you're in or anything like this. I know that some of the other leagues, like the IWFL and things like that, I know they have it. But what we're trying to do here at the East Texas Sabercats, we're trying to award our players for doing things that are extraordinary on the field. What we're doing, I want to get together and have a coaches poll, where kind of like the BCS poll, where if we played, it's only pertaining to if you played that team that season or that year. Like, our division consists of Houston, Austin, Lone Star, Oklahoma City, and us. So it's five teams, and you know, right around here in our division that I'm real sure that'll be playing in a conference or whatever like that, whatever, so to speak. But anyway, if what we're trying to do is we're trying to reward these ladies for extraordinary things they do on the field. I noticed in the past that last season we had a stats deal on the NWFA website, but we never, gave anybody the recommendation or recognized them for extraordinary things. I know we recognize somebody for being a leading passer or a leading rusher and all that stuff, but what I wanted to do was have a coaches poll on voting a person into an all-pro club. And what we're trying to do here at the East Texas Sabercats is we want to get with the NWFA and see if this is okay, of course. But what we want to do is we want to be the central point of that. So just say we go over and play Lone Star and they really have a defensive tackle or defensive end that really rips it up, and we go back in 2 weeks and we see, you know, and we play them again, or we see them play Houston, or we see them play Austin. Excuse me. And they rip it up again. Of course, that person is a standout person. That person is what I call extraordinary player or excellent player. What we would like to do is we would like to take the time out and vote that person into a all-pro status for that year and put them in a column like an all-pro defensive end or all-pro this and that. I know we don't have a Pro Bowl sort of like. That's something that I would like to get here eventually. But what I'm trying to do is to get, because a lot of times, this is why I say this, because a lot of times you see the quarterback that scored that tossed, you know, 37 touchdowns in a season, or you see the running back that rushed for over 2,600 yards in a season, or you see a receiver that caught this, caught that. And a lot of times we overlook that offensive line personnel or that defensive end or that, or we overlook that center that snaps well, or we overlook that kicker that made every extra point, or we overlook a kicker that made the longest kick sometimes. So what we want to try to do, if not the 2009 season, because I want to try to get with my webmaster and see about, you know, getting this thing running together, and where you can come in, you can click NWFA All Pro selection for 2009. Of course, and it will come after the seventh or eighth game of the season. We would go in and we would talk to coaches on like a conference call, and I would talk to Coach Poppy down in Houston, and we would talk with the coaches over in Lone Star, and we would get on the conference call, and he said, "Yeah, man, yada yada yada. She really tore it up, and she really tore it up against us." And every time I watch film, she was, you know, she was just great. She's a great pass blocker. She's a great rush in or something like this. Let's nominate her for a Pro Bowl nomination. And what it'll do, we'll just send you a nice little certificate that's saying that you are first team Pro Bowl selection, or first team All Pro selection or something like that, that we really want to do to kind of recognize those players that we kind of take for granted. Because I can promise you, I tell my quarterbacks, my running backs, my receivers, all the same thing. You can't do Dooley squat without them big old girls up front protecting you. Without them up front protecting you, you ain't jack. So what we want to do is we want to award those ladies for not allowing any sacks this season or whatever like that. So, I mean, if you think it's a great idea, you know, we'll roll with it. But if you think it's a crappy idea, we'll let you keep your opinion, you know, or you can voice your opinion. But that's what I'm projecting to do for the East Texas Sabercats on this end, and trying to do it for the conference that we'll be in. We'll find out here pretty soon the conference, and I'll touch bases with each and every coach and owner or GM and talk with them about selecting that person for whatever. And it's just keeping up with stats, real easy, real simple. Putting down the stats, putting down accurate stats, because I'm not going to put down, you know, my running back had 23 touchdowns when she only had two or three, you know. So we want to make it accurate as possible because we want them to earn that. That sometimes, it's like TJ was saying, it seems like they hit harder back then, and sometimes that gives you the extra push or the extra, give you that extra boost to want to do something extra on the field. I tell my players all the time, it's two kind of football players. It's an extraordinary football player, and it's an ordinary football player. If you take extra off of that word, extraordinary, you're left with ordinary. If you put extra back on there, it's extraordinary. So that little bit of extra could help excel a football team, or could it help excel the football player to accomplish some goals. When I played football, I always had goals that I want to accomplish, and I would take, and I'm going to do this with my offensive line, my quarterbacks, running backs, my whole personnel, my whole football team. And you'll take on this piece of paper each week when we watch film on Sunday afternoons. We watch film. You'll take and you will put down five goals that you want to complete for this football game. We want them to be goals that are attainable. We don't want them to be goals that you're saying you're going to throw 3,300 yards this game, because if you do that, somebody's in big trouble. But we want you to say, hey, look, I think I was talking to my quarterback, one of my quarterbacks back in July, and we had goals that we wrote down, that I wrote down personally as a head coach that I wanted. And one of them was, you know, I was mentioning to my quarterback, Cassie, that we wanted to toss for at least a couple of touchdowns a game, or at least look for, you know, something like that. I'm not so much of a stat keeper or stat rat is what I call it, but it gives them that extra vibe or that extra something to kind of they excel to try to get to that point. Plus, when you can throw for a couple of touchdowns a game and you can rush for a couple of touchdowns a game, that means you have a great chance winning a football game, putting up 28 points. You put up 28 points against an opponent, I mean, that's a pretty good offense. So, I would set those goals up for them. If it's nothing but, hey, look, I only get in on special teams, so I'm going to make a chance to block the punt, or I'm going to try to block a field goal. You know, whatever that goal may be, we want to try to obtain that goal, and what we want to do is tie that in to this All-Pro selection for our conference or for the NWFA, and we just want to list those accomplishments and get you awarded for your job, because like I say, a lot of times we overlook overlook the big girls up front that's making those holes for the running back to get through. Pensacola Power, and I know they're no longer with the NWSA, but they had a young lady down there at Pensacola, was a phenomenal running back. I mean, had her rushing stats and her yards per carries were out of sight. LaTanya Johnson, LaKeisha Johnson seems to ring a bell. But anyway, she was the NWSA leading rusher. But when it came down the line to see, you know, what type of offensive line she had or who was on that offensive line to get her those type of yards and things like that, we tend to overlook it. As a head coach, I've always, at the end of the game, when they tally up stats and hand them to me, I always will hand them to my offensive coordinator, hand them to my players, and we would keep rolling. But as time went on, I learned to kind of mature from that because I thought it was kind of selfish for me not to pay attention to it and see the accomplishments that my team had accomplished for that game and to aim for the goals. My goals for first downs are 18 to 20 first downs a game. That's a stat that I look at, whether we win by three or whether we, you know, win by 30. My goal is to get 18 to 20 first downs a game. My style of football is just chop it down the field. I'm not a big play coach. Just giving you an insight on chalk, basic chalk talk now. I'm a basic, you know, bits and pieces. I'm going to get it 4 and 5, 6 yards at a time until we wear you down, and then we're going to punch it in. We're going to put together 12 play drives, 12 play 80 yards, or 12 play 50 yard, whatever type of drive that we put together. And I want to be when at the time of possession, when the football game is over with, I want my time of possession to be more than half of what my opponent's was, because if you can control the clock and you can control the scoreboard, you win football games. And so those are some stats that I like to throw out that I'm interested in, not whether you threw for 3,300 yards a game. If that's a goal for you, then that's a goal that's achievable for the year. We will award you for that and everything. On my team, we'll award you for that and award you for making your goals and achievements. But it's just an elevation process that we're trying to put together to help our ladies exceed and excel to that extraordinary point to where they are a great football team. And my team will tell you all the time, I give speeches at practices and at camps that I just believe in, you know. I believe in that teamwork. I believe in that leader. I gotta have that leader on the team. So if anybody in the NWFA or in another league out there have any kind of idea of what kind of way we can put that together, we'd like to kind of sit down, chat it up, give them our webmaster, see how she can line it up. It's nothing for us to get some certificates printed up. We can get Texas Logo Pros to hook us up with some certificates with your name on it, your number, and get it in the mail to you also. Also, on one of the agendas that we've been talking about, it's kind of like a women's football magazine. I hadn't seen anybody and, you know, heard anything about one, but we're looking into, right now I'm looking into trying to promote Texas Women's Football Magazine to get a publisher, to get a Texas Women's Football edition, and then to get some pictures from Austin, Houston, Lone Star, and over here in East Texas to put this magazine together. And what it'll be like a monthly magazine that comes out once a month, and it'll have something to do with each team. It'll have each team's preseason record. If you have a preseason with some scrimmages or whatever, it'll have some photos of your games. It'll have some. What I like to do is like a lot of record keeping, like TJ. The Dayton Phillies didn't know anything about it. The Dayton Rebellion didn't know anything about it. But so what we like to do is keep records and keep, so, you know, all-time leading rusher and things like that, or to put something in that magazine to pertaining to the history of women's football, dating back to 2000, if we can get records back to then. So just a little things, just something off. That's what I'm calling topics off the top of my head tonight. Talk a little bit about SaberCats training camp is going to go on. Training camp is going. You're going to report to training camp 3:30, January 17th. So any of my ladies tonight, make sure that you got all your turkey, all your Christmas presents, everything out of the way, and make sure that you're ready to take a look at me. We've been out of there since October, and we just like TJ said, it's a condition phase that you need to go through. And this is working. It gives me the mental capacity of taking a hit, making it mixture, take a hit on it. If you can go as far as getting it in your mind that this is what you want to do, then you would, you know, that mental part of the game would definitely overweigh the physical part. I give it an 80-20 split. 80%, any coach will tell you, 80% is mental, and 20% is physical. I've seen people that were great athletes that just mentally they didn't have it. They couldn't find something deep down inside and finish up a training camp or finish up something. They would walk off and quit. Then I would find that person that was an average ball player that had a lot of heart and had a lot of character and wanted to finish. So 80% mental, 20% physical is my split that I give it. Some coaches may say 90 and 10, but I like to say 80 and 20 simply because it's a game that plays mind games with you. You know, when you're tired, you're beat up, 60 minutes is rolling by and that body's wearing down, and for a lot of us, like I said, we're not spring chickens. We're mid-30s or either early 30s, late 20s, and you can't cut it like you did when you were 18 or 16 or anything like that. So we want to get our girls back in and get them in the best shape possible after the holidays and after all the turkey and dressing and stuffing, and see if we get it out of them. So January 17th is that date for us for the East Texas SaberCats coming into our training camp for the first time, and you ladies would have to report at 3:30 p.m. and it'll be in New Diana, Texas, and looking forward to seeing y'all there. Also, I skipped over this when we were talking about trials here. We talked about a little bit about other trials and information about trials. But the East Texas SaberCats, like I said once again last week, we still have an open trials. And if you're in the East Texas area, you're listening tonight, you have an opportunity, two more opportunities, actually. The last opportunity will be January 25th. Let me take a look at that on my calendar here. I'm at my desk trying to do a lot of different things. So let me take a look at my calendar. But the two dates that we have will be January 18th at 2:00 p.m. We'll get you the time and we'll get you the place for that, but the time is at 2, depending on if it rains or not, if the field is wet or not. So that's the reason why I said we'll announce that place, but the time is going to be at 2 p.m. and you're going to do your basic drills, go through your basic rope drills, passing, receiving, cone drills and things like that. Nothing too hard, nothing too strenuous. Also, January 25th, that'll be on a Sunday afternoon at 2:00 p.m. To come out and do the same thing. The place to be announced once we get to okay if the field is not wet or if it hadn't rained the day before, that we won't mess up the field or anything like that. If you know some East Texas SaberCats football players, if you know any of the players around East Texas, go up to them, ask them how was you know, tryouts and what to expect from tryouts, and I'm pretty sure our ladies will be more than glad to answer any question you had about that. Heart running, one of our topics. BJ, are you there? Are you unmuted? We still don't have BJ. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here, Coach. Sorry about that. I had to unmute myself.
Yeah, just trying to see if I skipped over anything, bring you in the last 15 minutes of the show and see if anything that you might have in mind that we may have skipped or we may need to talk about tonight.
For NWFA, like you said, the schedules are coming out December 20th. For the WFA, Coach Bartley said the schedules are coming out in 2 weeks, so I think that would be like the 24th. That was 2 weeks from yesterday. I think that would have been the 24th. And as far as the IWFL, schedules are coming out, I believe, sometime January 1st or January sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget. I talked with the Aftershock not too long ago. Not actually talked to them, look on their website, and they actually have something about the schedule coming out or something like that. I don't remember where I saw it. I'm saying the Aftershock, but I think I saw it on the Aftershock's website about the IWFL. Anything around the league that I didn't touch on that you may know about that's coming up too?
No, they haven't been updating. I check every day, several times every day, and I haven't seen any updates except for individual team websites. Coach Penn last night went over everybody's website in all the leagues to see if any updates. And I think tryouts are pretty much done for a lot of the teams. I think they're
mostly
open tryouts.
You know, that's what we're hosting. We're hosting an open tryout because, you know, we, like I said before, when I first got into this thing, I'll take as many ladies that want to play football as possible and want to learn this game. So we're just going to host the open tryout the 18th and the 25th. And after the 25th, we lock down a schedule and release it to the press and get it up. We have actually a simulated kind of like roster now on our website, but we'll have a permanent roster on there where that way that everybody know what opponent they'll be going up against and things like that. I tell you what my biggest layback is right now is I just my whole deal is I can't get any film on anybody. I had a Houston film, but you're not real sure if that team's going to return and things like that. So I see a lot of familiar faces still intact. For them, but I'm not real sure on what the reigning champions are going to be like next season. So I talked to Roxy yesterday. I know they're still tied up in a lot of flag football and things like that. So you won't be seeing that Sabercat and Cyclone exhibition game no time soon. I do know that. That's 100% a no-go on there. But I did talk to Memphis up there with Zach and we've come to an agreement on something. We just got to get a date and a time. So the Sabercats and the Memphis Belles will tie up in the preseason, and we'll go in kind of like a controlled scrimmage and go at each other. And I think I can get a little bit of look at us then. But Lone Star, same thing. We're just waiting on them to see what they're capable of doing, if they have the time to do it. Coming up here pretty soon, and Austin the same way. Really hadn't had a chance to talk with Austin a whole lot. I think she's kind of busy. She's real hard to catch up with here lately. Have you talked with her?
No, I haven't talked to anybody. It's been really quiet on the NWFA side. I've been making calls out. Like I've called five people to try to get them on your show this week, and nobody's calling back. No one's. I haven't emailed, but they're not calling back unless they're not checking their business line. They might be closed for the holidays. I don't know. I'm having trouble.
Yeah, the holidays. Yeah, we're set to take off on the 21st, so we can get Christmas out of the way and things like that. So yeah, I think the holidays. I think it has a lot to do with it because what we did was in October. We just let all the ladies go and let them enjoy Thanksgiving and enjoy Christmas and New Year's and like I said, we're gonna try to get all that turkey and dressing out of them when they come to training camp. So it's probably what's going on right now. It's just everybody want to get to the end of the year and make it to 09 and see what happens. So,
well, I know that the H-Town Texas Cyclones are having tryouts on Sunday the 14th. So if you want to take a look-see, you could kind of maybe talk to Roxy and the coaches there and see if you can get something set up for pregame.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I talked to Roxy yesterday, and they were so busy with and I think it's a good tool, too. I think that she's doing a great job with that letting them play flag football. I don't know if she said full contact flag football. I don't even know what that is, but I have heard of it. But I know that they were playing flag football to kind of keep them in shape and keep them in tune with and in sync with football. So that's a great idea to do. And what we did with ours, our ladies are not playing flag football, but we're wanting to host this flag football tournament called the East Texas Tournament, a flag football tournament. And what it is, it's a marketing tool for us, a fundraising tool, and also a recruiting tool for us. So any teams out there that feel like that they're having problems recruiting players, sometimes you won't get ladies to come out and say they'll play full contact football, but you get them to come out to play flag and you take a look at them and maybe you can go over and talk to them and kind of give them a chat and kind of see if they want to come over and try full contact football. So that's what we're at right now, and we're doing. We got a few things going on. We're going to try to get a toy drive going on here pretty soon. We're going to ask each one of our players to buy a toy for somebody for a deserving child, and a $5 or $10 toy, whatever their heart desire, and give it out to a child and things like that. But other than that, yeah, it is pretty slow. It is. I notice it's real slow. Yeah, but I guess next Thursday night, what we'll do, we'll try to get us another guest on. I think what I'll do is I'll shoot back over and see where my team is and see if we can touch bases with some of the Dallas Diamonds or somebody around the league that may have a player or two that want to come on the show. You're more than welcome to come on. Just give BJ a holler or send me over an email at ktrammersports.com. Either you can send me over one at ktrammer@etsabercats.com. And I promise I'll get back with you. That ETSabercats website email address is kind of forgetful sometimes. I'll sometimes bypass it. It'll be a couple of days before I check it. So if you went in doubt, just go to ktrammersports@yahoo.com, and then you can get over to me. We're excited, BJ. We're ready for next weekend and ready to release this schedule and ready to see who we have coming up and get prepared to play football coming up here pretty soon. So as soon as we get it, we'll get it up online and get it over to you over at WFB Talk, and we'll be ready to kick off the 09 season as soon as the season gets here. So other than that, BJ, what else we got?
Not a whole lot, Coach. Just people are settling in, getting things going for the holidays. They've been updating their website, so a lot of teams have been updating their websites with tryout information and pictures and fundraisers and things of that nature. But until the schedule comes out, we don't really have a whole lot to talk about.
Right. Okay, well, when the schedule comes out, I'll probably have a flood of guests come on that week. So it'll get back up to par here after a while. It's kind of slow. Taxes, you know, tax season is coming and things like that. So, but I do know that if you are in your area, you have a chamber of commerce, or either you have like some weather station that take part in this every year. Coach for Kids, I would like to remind each and every team that if you have an old coat or something like that that you need to that you don't use, is just hanging up in the closet, if you have a son or a daughter or a niece or nephew, a friend, that they have just an old coat, find out where your local Coach for Kids or either something like that, and get involved in something like that. Not necessarily for the publicity or for the for the cameras to follow you everywhere with it, but it's getting cold. It's in the 20s down here in East Texas, and that's cold for us. So I can imagine elsewhere being in the teens and in single digits and a kid going to school or trying to grow up without a jacket. So if you can, hey, participate in something like Coach for Kids, or if you can, lend a hand this year and do a canned food drive or a canned canned dry good drive or something like that to kind of help out for the holidays. I know I am personally. The football team, I'm going to address it with them. We have a meeting coming up on the on December the 20th, the day of the schedule release. We have a schedule. We have a meeting scheduled for that day, and we're going to bring it up to them about doing things like that. My ladies are excellent with doing things like that, and I'd like to give a shout-out to the Sabercats that participated in all the parades. All the parades are over with until we reach February. We have one more parade, but parades are fun, but they're exhausting. I tell you, and they're costly. So we like to thank everybody for that. BJ, if that's not it, I'm gonna give my way I see it speech, and we're gonna have a good night.
I just want to remind people on Sunday on Women's Football Talk, WFBTalk.com, we will have Coach Brian Wiggins of the Houston Energy on the show, as well as April Delancey, who writes the blog Women Like Sports. So those are going to be the guests on this Sunday show.
I got to make the Sunday show, man. I actually, going back to that Houston Energy thing, you know, until I talked with somebody down in Houston, I was down in Houston back in May or either August I was in Houston. I didn't even know that it was a Houston Energy team. I know that it used to be, but I didn't know. I thought maybe, you know, the Cyclones and the Energy, you know, I thought that they had just, you know, emerged together and everything like that. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. So we got a guy on that talks a little bit about sports. He doesn't like women playing football, or he does, or what?
Oh, no, this is April Delancey. She actually, during the season, she covers for the SoCal Breakers. She's the writer for the SoCal Breakers on their website. But she keeps a daily blog of all the sports. It's a very good website. You get to it from – I actually have it linked on womensfootballtalk.com. You can check that out.
Okay. All right. Well, if nothing else, I'm going to give my last deal of the night the way I see it, and we're going to get off here and let everybody get some dinner in them and get to bed tonight. So that's it, BJ. I'll be getting to this, and then we'll end it.
Sounds good, Coach.
All right, tonight, the way I see it, we're going to take a topic tonight. We use what I like to do every week with my team. We use a word, and you actually heard me say the word extraordinary tonight a couple of times, and ordinary. And you know, it's a two-part word is what I call a two-part word. Take the word extra off of it, you got ordinary. Take the word extra, put back on it, you have extraordinary. So let me get into details of how I see it. And the way I see it is that when you make up in your mind that you have something that you want to achieve in life, or you have something that you wish you had tried to achieve, or you wish you had even gave a chance or a shot at, don't look back. Don't look back and say, I wish. Look forward and say, I can and I will. And when you do those things, you have to do it like there's no tomorrow. I'm not talking partying, doing a kickstand, and thinking that you're going to wake up in the morning with a headache. I'm talking football. We have a lot of teams that are coming up in the 09 season, have a lot of players that are not coming back, and I know some that are not coming back for personal reasons, but I know some that are coming back because they felt, like I said before, the offensive line, a lot of times we overlook them. A lot of times we overlook that linebacker that gets 13 or 14 tackles a game. That's an extraordinary linebacker. Trust me, 13, 14 tackles a game is extraordinary. Take time out in this 09 season if you're listening tonight and you write you down some goals. Make them achievable goals. Put you down 5 goals, maybe 10. I have 10 personal goals that I want to achieve, and then I have 5 big goals for my team that I want to achieve. So you take those goals, you dissect them, and you make sure they're achievable goals. Number one, if you're not on a football team, if you're not on a women's football team, make it a challenge. Challenge yourself to get out there. Once you get out there, you'll see that it's not that hard. It's not impossible. Anything is possible with faith and just a little trust in God. Just go out there, do everything you can to make that football team. And when you make that football team, don't think you got it made, because it's a time, and it is a lot of dedication that goes into this sport. So what we want to do is we want to get achieve extraordinary you know, tasks, and we want to take on these dreams and hopes and aspirations that we want, and we want to attack them with extraordinary efforts. We don't want to be an ordinary league. We don't want to be an ordinary team or an ordinary conference. Find something that you can do in your conference or in your league or for your team, whether you're a player, whether you're an owner, whether you're a coach, or whether you're just a fan that's looking from the sideline. Block out the image of you can't and put in your heart and your mind that you can. When you make up in your mind that you have a decision that you want to make, then you can achieve extraordinary situations. You can achieve things like that. So, hey, that's my show tonight. I'll see you next Thursday night. I'm Coach Kirk Tramer, East Texas Sabercats. God bless you, and thanks for spending time with me tonight. Thanks to my guests. Thanks to BJ and WFB Talk Radio. Good night.